So this morning's reading is from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's Madhya Lila, chapter 5. We are continuing the story of the activities of Sakshi Gopal. So today's verse we'll read from 91 till 97. Lord Krishna replied, "My dear Brahmana, go back to your home and call a meeting of all the men. In that meeting, just try to remember me. I shall certainly appear there. At that time, I shall protect the honor of both of you Brahmanas by bearing witness to the promise." The young Brahmana replied, "My dear sir, even if you appear there as a four-handed Vishnu deity, still none of those people will believe in your words. Only if you go there in this form of Gopal and speak the words from your beautiful face will your testimony be heard by the people." Lord Krishna said, I have never heard of a deity walking from one place to another." The Brahmana replied, "That is true, but how is it that you are speaking to me, although you are a deity?" "My dear Lord, you are not a statue. You are directly the son of Maharaj Nanda. Now, for the sake of the old Brahmana, you can do something you have never done before." Verse 97. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Sri Gopalji then smiled and said, "My dear Brahmana, just listen to me. I shall walk behind you, and in this way I shall go with you." Purport. The conversation between Lord Krishna and the Brahmana is proof that the Lord in his Achara Murti, or form made of material elements, is not material. For those elements, although separated from the Lord, are also part of the Lord's energy, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita. Because the elements are the Lord's own energy, and because there is no difference between the energy and the energetic, the Lord can appear through any element, just as the sun can act through the sunshine and thus distribute its heat and light. So Krishna, by his inconceivable power, can appear in his original spiritual form in any material element, including stone, wood, paint, gold, silver, and jewels. Because the material elements are all his energy, the Shastra warns, "Acharya Vishnu Sila Dahi Narakasaha." One should never think of the Archamurti, the deity within the temple, as stone, wood, or any other material element. Because of his advanced devotional position, the younger Brahmana knew that although the deity of Gopal appeared to be stone, he was not stone. He was the son of Nanda Maharaj, Vajendra Nandana himself. As such, the deity could act exactly as the Lord does in his original form as Krishna. Lord Krishna was talking to the young Brahmana just to test his knowledge about the Archavigraha. In other words, those who have understood the signs of Krishna, Krishna's name, form, qualities, and so on and so forth, can also talk with the deity. To an ordinary person, however, the deity will appear to be made of stone, wood, or some other material. In the higher sense, since all material elements ultimately emanate from the Supreme Personality, Supreme Entity, nothing is really material. Being omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient, Krishna can deal with his devotees in any form without difficulty. By the mercy of the Lord, the devotee knows perfectly well about the Lord's dealings. Indeed, he can talk face to face with the Lord. Om Jnana Trimandandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshurunmutam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Vanchakalpatrubhyasya Kripa Sindhubhyasya Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavyo Namo Namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So in this section, as we heard, the young Brahmana has already reached Vrindavan, and now he is speaking with the form of the deity, Gopal. As the conversation takes between Gopal and the young Brahmana, it is revealed by the Supreme Lord that you just go back and arrange the meeting of everyone there, and within the meeting, you just think of me and I will appear. As Prabhupada mentions in the purport, that the persons who will be gathered there to witness this act would not believe if you appear there as your Chaturbhuj, as your Vishnu form with four hands. In the previous verses we understood that if people are of atheistic mind, they will never accept even if Krishna comes physically present. Even though you may be a very strong devotee, but unless and until you have developed that real devotional qualities in your heart and have faith that this is Krishna, he is non-different from his original form of Golok Vrindavan, Krishna, then that reciprocation will not take place, but the act of a devotee and the Supreme Lord will be on a superficial platform. Sometimes I used to joke that here at Bhaktivinoda Manor, we have a very glorious celebration of Janmashtami, barring 2020. Otherwise, we have had an experience of very, very wonderful experience of setting up Janmashtami festival here. Thousands of devotees come here to have a glimpse of Radha Gokulananda. And I've seen people waiting there for 4 hours in the queue and then coming here and then like 10 seconds and you're out. But even that 10 seconds, they're eagerly waiting for 4 hours of austerities to have a glimpse of the Lord. Now, they must have some love for Krishna in order to wait for 4 hours in the queue, just have 10 seconds glimpse of Radha Gokulananda. But on the other hand, after taking the darshan of Radha Gokulananda, and they're observing all the festivities set up in the different pandals, different activities are going on, and all of a sudden, Krishna is walking amongst you. Would you recognize Krishna? More likely you say it is the Bhaktivinoda players, one of the person is dressed up as Krishna and is walking around amongst us as Krishna. But we cannot recognize Krishna. Because unless until Krishna reveals himself to us, we cannot see him. Just like in the Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna and Arjuna are conversing in the middle of the battlefield, Krishna is right present, very present with Arjuna. But Arjuna is not thinking, here is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's thinking, here is my cousin and my friend. He doesn't recognize Krishna as the Supreme. But during their conversation of Bhagavad Gita, he's asking questions to Krishna. He said, now can you please reveal to me your real form? Of course, he was in his real form. Because the 200 form of Krishna is his real form. Not the universal form. But universal form is a form which is temporarily manifested to show Arjuna the greatness of the Supreme Lord. So of course, Krishna says that I have to give you special divine eyes. Thereby you can see me. Otherwise, you cannot see me. In Ishopanishad, it is mentioned that when Krishna is in his full glorious appearance, it's like 10 million suns shining at the same time. Now, can you imagine that on a beautiful cloudless day, you go outside and the sun in his glory is shining in the sky and you look directly into the sun. How much painful it is going to be in your eyes. Even for a couple of seconds, you look directly into the sun, your eyes will get damaged. You won't be able to see the sun. That is the power of just one sun. But in Ishopanishad, it's explained, millions of suns, same time appearing. Can you imagine how effulgent and power could be in that energy, that these eyes will be completely burnt to smithereens and you'll end up blind. So Krishna gives a special vision and allows Arjuna to see. So similarly in Brahma Samhita, it is said that when the devotee's eyes are anointed with love, then you can see Krishna. Krishna will appear before you and you'll see him. Although every day we come here, we take it for granted that Gokulananda is always going to be on the altar. And every time when the darshan is open, you come in front of the Lordship and you see Gokulananda standing there smiling and playing his flute. But do you actually hear his flute? Do you see Gokulananda with his glorious smile and he sings, "Welcome, my dear devotee. How are you doing today?" Or do we stand in front of Krishna and say, "Oh, Gokulananda, I have come to talk to you today. Can I have a 10 minutes conversation with you?" And if you do, and someone standing next to you saying, he's lost it. So we cannot actually see Krishna. So here in this section of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the activities of Gopal, is the Supreme Lord himself is speaking with the young Brahmana. And then the young Brahmana is saying that because all these people, they don't have faith, and most of them have atheistic understanding, so therefore you have to come in your form as your deity and present yourself, because your form as this Gopal deity, some of them have seen, some of them heard a description of you. And therefore, when you come practically as this form, then they will accept your words. So Krishna, as Prabhupada explains, can manifest himself in any material, whether it's wood, whether it's stone, whether it's gold, silver, even jewels is mentioned here, even paintings. Krishna is there. Only thing is that we cannot see the Lord because our consciousness is not yet purified and our eyes are not anointed with love for Krishna. Unless and until we develop love for Krishna, we cannot see Krishna. Although Prabhupada explains that by the Lord's causeless mercy on the living entities, he manifests himself as Archavigraha, as a deity form, to allow us to at least see the Lord's beautiful form with these material eyes. And by these material eyes, you can see the beautiful form of the Lord. And then with this material body, you can actually render very personal service to the Lord. Those who are Brahmin initiates and trained in the worship of the Lordship, they will go on the altar and render very personal service to the Lord. They will unclothe him, they will bathe him, then they will clothe him again and decorate him very nicely and then offer him very nice palatable foodstuffs. Now can you imagine to unclothe the Lord, to bathe him, how personal is that? There's a very personal interaction between the Lord and his devotee. He allows the devotee to undress him. Now can you imagine that us in our present state, dressing each other and bathing each other, it would be unheard of. The only time the personal interaction between two living entities is of a mother and a newborn child. A newborn child, the mother will undress the child, clean him, bathe him, and dress him, and feed him. But as soon as the child grows to be like 3 or 4 years old, the child opens up its mind. And it says, "Mommy, no, don't dress me. I don't want to get undressed in front of you." Because the child becomes embarrassed by his very mother. Although the mother has been doing this for last 3 years or 4 years. But as the child becomes older, it's an embarrassment for mother and the child to have that personal relationship. But here, no matter what age we are, as long as we have that kind of love for Krishna, then the Lord will allow us to have that very personal interaction with Him. He'll allow us to serve Him very personally. Now we generally take it for granted that we have this very privileged position to serve the Lordships on a very personal level. But Prabhupada is explaining that the Lord is very kind and merciful, that He allows you to perform this very personal service in order to develop attachment for the Lord. And when you develop attachment for the Lord, then Lord also develops attachment for you. As Krishna says, I dwell in the hearts of my devotees. The devotees dwell in my heart. Now, of course, we are all trying to place Krishna in our hearts. But can you imagine Krishna is willing to place us in His heart? It is a very, very, very personal interaction between the living entity and the Supreme Lord. Because remember, the Supreme Lord is, as mentioned in the purport here by Prabhupada, He is omnipresent, He is omniscient. He is omnipotent. And what is our position? Insignificant. We have no potency, basically. Even our own potency is derived by the mercy of the Lord. If you separate the Lord from the living entity, what is your worth? I mean, in this own physical body which we are living in, we are so proud. I am someone very important. I am someone of a value. But how long is this body valuable? As long as the Paramatma and Atma are residing in this body. Now, if Paramatma decides to leave this body, the Atma, the soul, the person, has no choice but to live along with the super soul. And when the super soul is left the body, and the soul follows behind that super soul, what is the value of this body? As Prabhupada explains, it's a lump of bones, muscles, blood, bile, stool. This is what this body is all about. But it becomes so appreciative when the soul is present. Even in our own experience, when we have a very close relationship with our near and dear ones, and we very dearly love them. But as soon as that person dies, we would mourn and cry and grieve for the loss of that person. For how long? But within 24 hours, we would get rid of that body. Of course, in this country, we have different rules that you have to make your booking. Even after death, you have to go to the funeral parlor and say, look, we need to perform this cremation. And they will give you a date. And according to that date, you know, you try to get the closest date as possible after the departure of the person. Not that, oh, we'll wait 1 year. We don't do that. Immediately, we discard that person. Even though that person was very much loved by us. But because the soul was present, we love that person. Now the soul is vacated that body. The body is of no value. So here we have to understand that Krishna, He doesn't enter into the manifested form of the Lord. Either it is in stone, wood, metal, or even precious metals like gold, silver, as mentioned in the purport by Prabhupada. Krishna manifests Himself in that form. You and I, we are not this body, as we understand from the Bhagavad Gita. And very quickly we realize, as we are getting older, that yes, I am not this body, because this body is getting old and it's useless. But the person inside still feels young. And has anybody got that experience that the soul feels old? No, you still feel you're as young as ever. You think you can still do everything as you were able to do when you are in the prime of your youth. I tried this one time in my own experience, that when I was 7-8 years old, in the forest of Africa, And in Africa, these huge mango trees growing there, wild. And we as a group of kids would go and climb those trees like monkeys without any difficulty and enjoy the fruits of the tree. Then I think about maybe 15, 20 years ago, I was still younger than what I am now. I'm older by 20 years. But that time, I was in India. And I remember my childhood days with a beautiful mango tree there saying, this mango seems very nice. I will climb the tree. I have climbed it before. Nothing strange to me for climbing a tree. I was struggling to even climb 2 or 3 feet on the tree. No muscle power, although I have got strong muscles, but it's not strong enough to lift the body and climb with agility up the tree as I used to do when I was 8 years old. But the soul thinks I can still do it. I'm still young. But the body has become a little old and defunct, you can say. So, but Krishna's body is ever youthful. Navayovanam, as described in the Brahma Samhita, this is ever fresh and youthful. And therefore, the Lord's form, when He's manifesting in the deity, is right there in front of us. Out of His causeless mercy, He's appeared to allow us to see Him. And we see with us these eyes every day. And are we really seeing the Lord, or are we just seeing a form manifested of the Lord? Generally, I would say it's the form of the Lord. Because as soon as you are in the temple room, you see the physical proximity of the Lord, and you see the beautiful form of the Lord has manifested and is beautifully decorated with flowers and decoration, jewelries. And you have a very close audience with the Lord. And after the your audience with the Lord and physically seeing and observing the Lord, trying to bring into your heart, you think, oh, I've taken the darshan of the Lord. Then you're off. And then 3 days later, it says, do you remember on Sunday, you were in the temple room, you took darshan of the Lord? What was the color of His dress? You'd be struggling. Let's have a do an experiment here. Last Sunday, I think most of us were in the temple room here. We had a beautiful audience with Gokulananda. How many remembers what was the dress color last Sunday? That is because Jagatpriya Mataji is dressing the Lordship, and she remembers Ekadasi means white or pink. So it's like a choice of whether pink or white. 50-50, you can get it. But anybody else, if he wasn't Ekadashi, he was just a non-Ekadashi day. The pujari may have some idea, because the pujari sets up a schedule, Monday this day, Tuesday this day, Wednesday this, Thursday this, Friday this, Saturday this. So on the basis of that, you may kind of, but then you see, if it's a pink dress, how many pink dresses does Gokulananda have? I'm sure it's more than one set. Because every year we offer at least 3 or 4 new sets of dresses to Gokulananda. And his wardrobe is kind of increasing. So do you know a very specific one? Also, what kind of flute he was holding in his hand? What was his headgear? What was the turban? Or a crown, and if it's a turban, what color the turban's clothings were there? These minute details we do not remember. Why? Because we come here with this superficial darshan, but we do not absorb the Lord in our heart. Because we still haven't developed that relationship with the Supreme Lord on a personal level. Now, on the other hand, when we have very personal relationship, person to person, you can still remember. Oh, I remember your last birthday, you were wearing such and such a dress. Last birthday was maybe, you know, a few months back. But you can very clearly remember what dress the person was wearing on the birthday. Why? Because you have very personal relationship with that person. That is why you take interest in that person. And what the person is wore on that day. And everything about that person you know very, very, very intimately. Especially those who have very intimate relationship. Generally, you know, the most intimate relationship is between a husband and a wife. You know, and the husband and wife, they know each other so well that over the years, they don't even have to think about it. They don't know exactly what the other person is thinking. That much closeness there is, that relationship between a husband and wife. Now, if we can manifest that kind of relationship on a material platform. Oi, boys, are you hearing? Or are you having your private conversation? So, when you have that personal relationship and so much intimacy between the two persons, now this is material. So can you imagine how much wonderful relationship we can develop with the Supreme Lord? Because Supreme Lord, He's saying, I'm here. I'm for you. Take me. But are we willing to take Him? Or are we going on an intellectual level of understanding, I am following Krishna consciousness, I understand from intellectual platform that to come out of this material bondage and entanglement, I have to follow the process of Krishna consciousness and thereby follow certain rules, regulations, certain rituals and perform it every day. But there is a personal relationship of interacting with the Supreme Lord, absorbed in Supreme Lord, serving Him, and actually having that ability to converse with Him. It is possible, because we can hear from this young Brahmana. Now this young Brahmana boy, he wasn't the pujari of Gopal. He was just visiting on a pilgrimage, and he has visited that Gopal temple before. But here, he has that deep understanding that Gopal is non-different, as Prabhupada mentions here, and also in the verse here, it is mentioned that he is that same Brajananandana, the son of Nanda Maharaj, Krishna. So he doesn't see that form as different. So therefore, he is actually addressing him. And this is very interesting Prabhupada saying that he is addressing Krishna. Dear sir, now, generally we say, dear Lord. But here, the relationship is a little bit more personal. Saying, dear sir, with respect. And if he had even more deeper relationship with Krishna, he would say, Gopal. Now we know this from a very intimate relationship of Sanatana Goswami and Madan Mohan. And he would address Madan Mohan as Madan Mohan, not the dear Lord. And he would offer him foodstuffs. And after that, he said, now Madan, I'm going to put you on the tree because there is nowhere else for me to put you. So he would hang him in a cloth bag. And hang him on the tree. And Krishna is quite happy with that. Why? Because he's not doing that just out of some superficial respect for the Lord. But he has very deep relationship, and he wants to protect Gopal. So he puts him on the tree, because if he's on the ground, maybe animals may come, and we have known the animals have no understanding of the Supreme Lord. Especially in Vrindavan, you have all these dogs wandering around, and they would come and sniff around and pee on you. So, of course, Sanatana Goswami is very concerned. And then Sanatana Goswami's deity, Madan Mohan, he is very tolerant. He understands that here is my devotee. He has limitation of what he can offer to me. So he's offering dry bread, made out just Yamuna water and wheat flour, and made into a dough and then roasted on a wooden fire. And then he offers that to his Madan Mohan. Madan Mohan is quite happy taking that. Sometimes Krishna has a desire. See? And he says to Sanatana Goswami, my dear Sanatana, at least put a pinch of salt in it to give a little flavor. Sanatana Goswami says, I don't have salt. I'm giving you what I have. If you want salt, then you make arrangement and I'll give it to you. Of course, sometimes, you know, we have also, by mercy of Krishna and his wonderful well-wishers and devotees who generously contribute to the temple, and therefore the temple can afford to buy very nice, opulent bhoga and make wonderful preparations to offer to Gokulananda. And when you're offering this, we're thinking, we are offering. But actually, it is not we who are offering to it. We are in a privileged position to render that service to Gokulananda. At the same time, it is the mercy of the Lord who has arranged for what he wants. But we are thinking, we are arranging. And that is why we cannot develop that intimate relationship with the Lord. But when we actually appreciate that everything is done by the Lord, I am simply the most fortunate person that I have been allowed to render this very personal service to the Lord. You know, whether you are as a pujari, you're serving the Lordship on the altar, or you are on this side of the altar and just say prayers or just even sing and chant for the pleasure of the Lord, then Lord will reciprocate with you. So this is the very simple process of developing a relationship with the Supreme Lord on a very personal level. And then if you develop this very personal relationship, the Lord will reciprocate with you. So I will share two incidents which happened to me in my experience of worshiping the Supreme Lord and his pure devotee. The first one is, I will start with his pure devotee. His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Prabhupada, is very nicely established and worshiping. His worshiping is taking place at the Prabhupada Palace of Gold in New Vrindavan. So this Palace of Gold is an offering of love by the devotees and well-wishers to Prabhupada as recognition that he's the glorious king for us. Without Prabhupada, we would be bereft of Krishna consciousness. So I was very much fortunate that when I was serving in New Vrindavan, there was a regular pujari who was serving Srila Prabhupada. And something went wrong in his mind, in his heart. He blooped and he left. And I was in my guest house office, and Kirtananda Maharaj, he pulled up in his car and he honked his car and to attract my attention. And I looked at the car and I looked, oh, it's Bhaktipad. So I went out and says, hey, Bhaktipad, what's up? Of course, you know, I had a different relationship with him. I wasn't like, oh, Srila Bhaktipad, Guru Maharaj, you know. Anyway, that was a personal relationship with him. But the point is, he came and he said, hey, Hari Bhakta, the pujari for Prabhupada has left. Can you take over their service? And I was singing. I have a plate full of service to do. And on top of that, he's asking me. So I was thinking, here is Prabhupada calling for me. He wants me to serve him. And I was so elated and happy that I took on that service. And that service was, extra hours of service and plus serving Prabhupada means you have to follow the rules, regulations and timings of worshiping Prabhupada's offerings. So every morning, I had to wake up because I had to sleep in the palace now. And palace, unfortunately, doesn't have a good heating system. So you're sleeping in an ice box, practically. Freezing cold. And then the showers don't work because the water in the pipe is frozen. So every morning I have to wake up around 2:33, walk down the hill, go to the lake, break the ice, and take the ice cold water bath, and then go back up to the palace and shivering, dress up, and get ready, and then ring the bell, and then knock on Prabhupada's door and say, Srila Prabhupada, may I enter your room? Then I enter the altar of Prabhupada and wake him up and offer him his Mangalati sweets. After offering his Mangalati sweets to him, then dot on the spot, not a second before, not a second after, I hear in the temple room going, tack, 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 tack. Means Kirtananda Maharaj has walked in with his walking stick and can hear. And as soon as he walks, I know it is time to blow the conch and open the doors. Because even a second late, you would get heavy chastisement. Why you are not following discipline? Timing must be of utmost importance here. So of course, I open the doors to Prabhupada's altar and offer him Mangalati sweet. So this was my regular service for Srila Prabhupada. And after Mangalati is finished, the next pujari would come in to take over from me. Then he would undress Prabhupada, bathe him and dress him, get him ready for Shinga Darshan. Meanwhile, I have to run down almost like more than half a kilometer to the main temple for Mangalati. And there, after halfway through the Mangalati, the head pujari would tell me, and tap on my shoulder and says, today you are dressing Krishna, or today you are dressing Radharani, and whisper the color, red color or blue color, or whatever costume we are going to dress the lordship with. And then I'm dressing Radha Vrindavan Chandra. Now, the experience I had with Srila Prabhupada was, that of course, as I said, I became so elated that Prabhupada has actually asked, through Kirtananda, to approach me to come and render some service to him. So I was very, very fortunate, thinking that I have now opportunity to serve Prabhupada. So I'm serving Prabhupada. And of course, in the evening, at 10 o'clock, I would go to the palace and take rest to wake up early in the morning for the morning puja of Prabhupada. So the morning devotee who cooks a breakfast, he told me that we have run out of sugar. Can you make sure there is sugar in Prabhupada's kitchen so that next day when he comes to make Prabhupada's breakfast and the sugar is there for Prabhupada's preparations, especially halwa for his breakfast. So I made arrangement and I brought the jar, the packet of sugar and emptied in the glass jar and filled it up and put it right there on the table there so you cannot miss it. The sugar is right there. Unfortunately, the salt had also run out. So the person who's cooking Rajbhoga, he had brought the salt in and put the jar right next to the sugar jar. And then this devotee, when I finished my Mangalati and he came to dress Prabhupada, because he's the same pujari who cooks breakfast, I said, did you bring the sugar here? He said, yes, Prabhu, it's right there on the table there. He says, okay, see you later. Then I went down to Mangalati. And after Mangalati is finished, then I come back up. Because this pujari who has dressed Prabhupada and then he's cooking Prabhupada's breakfast, so my duty is to offer breakfast to Prabhupada. So I come in time, 10 minutes before the breakfast offering to make the plate of Prabhupada and make the offering. And he said, hey, Prabhu, the halwa doesn't look good. I said, don't worry, look, time. I must make the plates up and offer to Prabhupada. Timing is very important. So I made up the plate of Prabhupada and offered the halwa and hot milk and fruits and everything for his breakfast offering. And after offering is finished, I took the plates out and they did transfer. And the devotee who cooked breakfast, he just took a little morsel and put his mouth. It was salty. Because can you imagine? When you make halwa, you put like one or two cups full of sugar. So he put one or two cups full of salt in it. And it was salty. And then he said, did you bring sugar? I said, yes, I brought sugar. I know the difference between salt and sugar. The packet says very clearly, sugar. And then, when I go to the warehouse to come, get this, we had a whole warehouse where we just have to go and bring things from the central warehouse. So you have to fill in a form to say what you want, and when you fill the form, you write sugar, and the guy will give you sugar, not salt. So anyway, Prabhupada had that morning salty halwa. Now, I was nothing to do with it. I just offered it. But around 10 o'clock, I developed fever. Out of nowhere, I had high temperature, I was furious, and I was struggling. And all day until evening when I went back to the palace and I prayed to Prabhupada, I said, Prabhupada, please forgive me that I offered you salty halva. And half an hour after that, fever end, gone. Now I was thinking, because I offered Prabhupada that salty halva, I got a reaction. Not Prabhupada gave me the reaction, but Prabhupada's Lord and Master, Vrindavan Chandra, said, how dare you give this to my devotee? That is your carelessness. That is because you are in Maya. Because why I'm saying this is one time when, in Los Angeles temple, they were making Chana Amrit after bathing everything. The deities, so they had made somehow mistake also. Instead of sugar, they put salt. So Chana Amrit, when Prabhupada tested, and it was salty, and Prabhupada said, what is this? You are in Maya. Because you cannot tell the difference between salt and sugar. Or at the time when you are putting sugar in the sugar water to bathe the deity, you put salt in there. So you're not very conscious and mindful. So that's Maya. So of course, this is my experience was that Prabhupada's deity is not just fiberglass. It's Prabhupada sitting there. He's appreciating all the devotees giving him service and Prabhupada reciprocates. But Krishna, on the other hand, says, this is what you gave to my pure devotee. He has done so much for you. Can you not be little conscious? So of course, that was one experience. Then the other experience with the Lord Shiva of Radha Vrindavan Chandra was that one morning the head pujari came in and tapped on my shoulder and said, today you're dressed in Krishna and the color code is red. So I was thinking, very nice. And of course, Radha Vrindavan Chandra also is very opulent. He has like 50, 20 sets of red color dresses and is a huge wardrobe. So there was one particular dress which I really liked. And I have dressed that with that dress, Vrindavan Chandra, many times. So I was so excited. I went into the pujari room, picked up the costume I liked, set it all up. And then as soon as the curtains close, we are inside the temple room, rather the altar, and begin the morning procedure of undressing the Lord and then bathing him and then start dressing. And I was dressing Vrindavan Chandra. And my colleague was with me, was Varshana Maharaj. He was dressing Radharani. So he was quite happy, you know, going on and dressing. And then I was struggling dressing Vrindavan Chandra. For 10 minutes, I could not dress him. For some reason or other, the dress would not fit properly. So then with my elbow, I went. And Varshana was saying, I said, because we are not allowed to speak on the altar, you see. So then I said, so we went outside and said, Prabhu, this is not going right. We have to change this dress. I said, I'm almost finished. I said, no. Krishna is not dressing properly. So we took it all out and just randomly we picked up a red dress and brought it out and then started dressing. And within 25 minutes, Vrindavan Chandra and Radharani were dressed immaculately beautiful. And then, of course, 7:30, curtains open and everybody's, you know, 800 devotees jumping up and down with joy, singing and dancing and appreciating the darshan of Radha Vrindavan Chandra. And there I was also thinking, oh, Vrindavan Chandra, you're looking so beautiful. I did it, you know. I think, I did it. But then all day I was thinking, the dress which I chose, why did it not fit properly? Because obviously I've dressed the same dress before. So Vrindavan Chandra did not put on a little extra weight by eating Mangalati sweets or something, you know. He's still the slim, beautiful young boy. Then I realize that Vrindavan Chandra wants to wear what he wants to wear, not what I want to put on him. It is his test, not my test. So he reciprocates. And then I realize that actually it is the Lord who decides what he wants to wear. But he gives us opportunity to interact with him. And he personally reciprocates with you. Of course, I wasn't as fortunate as this young Brahmana that Vrindavan Chandra said, "Hey, you, I don't like that dress. I like this dress." He didn't chastise me. But actually, from my heart, I understood that because I was so proud that I am dressing Vrindavan Chandra, I am doing all these things, therefore, I am so great. But then quickly Krishna slapped me on the face and said, "Hey, remember, it is I who am dressing myself. I am allowing you to do this. Don't get arrogant about it." So, of course, very quickly I realized my humble position, that I am so grateful and fortunate that I have been allowed to render this service to Prabhupada. I have been allowed to render this service to Vrindavan Chandra. And this is how, when we worship Krishna and have that love for him, then he reciprocates with us. And I have a strong faith that as we worship the lordships on the altar, and I would advise every devotee, be eager to become a brahmana and trained for pujari seva and serve the lordships on the altar and be eager to serve them. And more you eagerly serve the lordships on the altar, you will develop very definitive attachment for the lordship. And then lordships will also have attachment for you. And then someday, when you're lying in your bed, Gokunanda was saying, "Wake up! Don't go to sleep. I want to speak to you." And he will come and speak to you. And that is perfection of our Krishna consciousness. So we can learn from this section of Sakshi Gopal's activities that the Lord is non-different from his manifested form in this material world. He comes out of his causeless mercy to give us opportunity to see him with his mundane eyes. At the same time, he allows us to render very personal service to him and develop that personal relationship, because the relationship deepens through service. The more and more service we render to each other, the more and more our relationship of loving exchange develops stronger and stronger. And the same is when we serve the lordships with that the service mood, then the Lord will reciprocate with us and our relationship will deepen stronger and stronger, and our love will increase for him to the point where he will speak to us and we'll speak to him and our lives will become perfect. So on that note, I will stop. If anybody has any comments, any questions, we can take one or two questions or one or two comments.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for the wonderful class. Just on the topic of like creating building a relationship with Krishna, does it take us to go through that anartha nivritti stage? Well, what sort of stage are we able to actually cultivate this relationship? Do we need to get past our anarthas to actually be able to discover it?
Obviously, in our contaminated state, we cannot develop that close proximity to Krishna. So that is why we are following this process of sadhana bhakti, where we follow regulative principles of bhakti and free ourselves from all these anarthas, all the contamination, and connect with Krishna. Now, that stage of freeing ourselves of this contamination depends on us as individuals. How quickly and how eager we are to connect with Krishna. So one time Prabhupada was on a morning walk, and one devotee asked Prabhupada, saying, "Prabhupada, how long does it take to become Krishna conscious?" And Prabhupada said, 1 minute. So Prabhupada said, "You can become Krishna conscious in 1 minute. Or it can take a lifetime, or lifetimes. It's up to us. The eagerness we have and the urgency we show to Krishna from our side and become more serious, then that much quickly we'll be free from it and that relationship will develop. So it's not a question of a stage, this stage or that stage. It is just the instant spontaneous love for Krishna arises in the heart when we have eagerness to love Krishna. And Krishna has eagerness for us. In fact, Prabhupada says, Krishna is more eager to welcome us than we are to welcome him. So we have to show our eagerness from our side, open our hearts, says, "Please, Krishna, come and dwell in my heart. I want you. There's nothing more I want in this world than you." But generally, we don't come to that stage because we want everything under the sun for ourselves but Krishna. So Krishna says, "It's okay, I can wait. I have eternity." We don't have eternity. Although we are eternal, but in our present status, we don't have eternity. we have a short lifespan. And within that short lifespan, we can utilize this first-class opportunity. And why I say first-class opportunity is because in this present birth, we have actually opened our eyes to spirituality and connected to the process of bhakti. And that is why we are here, to connect with Krishna. So we utilize this and become perfect. Oh, Krishna says, I can wait. But I'm eager to have you, but I will not push you. I want you to show your eagerness first. And as we show our eagerness to approach Krishna, then Krishna will come that much faster to us. So it's not a question of anartha or stage of ruchi of developing taste or shakti, we become fixed, in nishta. Of course, these are the stages which Rupa Goswami says, adosada tatha sadhu sangha tatha bhajana kriya tatha anartha nivriti tatha ruchi nishta. But we have to show that eagerness from our heart. And that is what will decide how quickly we develop Krishna consciousness. Because anarthas are always going to be there. Because if you have experience as a gardener, you pick up a weed from the garden, what happens? It sprouts again and again. So you have to keep picking them out until you have freed the root of the weeds from the heart, of anarthas, of all the bad qualities. Then you are in a perfect stage. Okay? Any other comments, questions?
Thank you, Maharaj. In the beginning of the class, you were talking about Paramatma within us. And I was thinking, what are the functions of the Paramatma? What is... I heard that he gives us intuition, he gives us, the guidance.
Well, generally, Paramatma in the heart, he is accompanying the soul, as Srila Prabhupada explains, of the two birds sitting on a tree. One is enjoying the fruits of the tree, the other is observing. So Prabhupada gives that analogy from the Vedas and scriptures, that the soul and the super soul is the witness. He just there with you, accompanying you, but he will not interfere with you. He will just be an observer. But sometimes that Paramatma, out of his causeless compassion and mercy upon that living entity, he prods you and gives you that, sometimes we say it's intuition, or sometimes we say it's the conscious which speaks to you. So that's Paramatma speaking to you or indicating that, no, don't do this. Or go this way, don't go that way. So he gives prods us sometimes, but it doesn't interfere with us. The only time Paramatma begins to interact with us is when we turn to Paramatma and say, Dear Lord, now that I've come to this point of realization, I need help, I need guidance. You, dear Lord, are the supreme guide. Please guide me. And at that point, Paramatma changes from Paramatma feature to Krishna. And then he starts interacting with you because you have now approached Krishna. And Krishna says, now that you've come to me, I will take care of you. As Krishna says in the 18th chapter, Sarva Dharmam Parijata, Mame Kam Sarja. We come to Krishna, Mame Kam. Then Krishna says, Aham Tam Sarva Papi. I'll free you now. I'll take in charge of your destiny. But up to that point, we come to Krishna and surrender to Krishna and ask Krishna that you take over and show me the path. At that point, Paramatma is there and you are only going forward according to your karma, good or bad. So we have to pray to the Lord that Paramatma, please manifest this Krishna in my heart. I want to surrender to you. And Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, you surrender to me, then I take care of everything else. It's a very simple process, but it must come from us. Krishna is not going to force us, put a gun and say, hey, surrender or else. Says, you come with your sweet will. That's why you have got your free will. You can do as you like with your free will. Approach Krishna or reject Krishna. Krishna says, that's okay. That's why Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, if you want to remember me and come to me, I give you that ability. And if you want to forget me and reject me, I will still give you that also. And you will reject me and condemn me completely. Krishna is indifferent with that. Whether you condemn him, or you glorify him. Krishna is equipoise in both. But he says, if you condemn me, that's fine. But then you are going to be the, you know, face consequences of your own actions. Then don't come crying to me and saying, why I'm suffering. We are the cause of our own suffering. Krishna is not the cause of our suffering. Krishna is the cause of our happiness. And that happiness comes when we willingly submit ourselves to Krishna. So that Paramatma then manifests as Krishna and says, I'll take charge of you. Otherwise, he will not interfere with us. He will just simply there very patiently observe life after life after life. He will observe. Okay? All right. Thank you very much. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Sri Radha Gokulanand ki jai. Sri Sri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. Sri Sri Gauranitai ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande. Gaur Bhakta Brind ki jai.